Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is Friday, May 3rd, a special Friday edition of the Android Central Podcast. Does it feel any different out there to you guys? It feels weird to me. I'm Phil Nickinson, your host for the podcast and editor of AndroidCentral.com. And with us, we have Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
And not quite as late in the evening in the UK, it's Alex Dobie.
Hey, everyone.
And finally, from Seattle, on the other side of the world, Alex, Andrew Martonic.
And it's only 1 o'clock here, so I have no excuse to be tired.
Super early for you, right? So welcome to Friday. How's it feel, you guys? We're trying a different day and a different time.
Feels like Friday.
I figured a couple things. I mean, it's been a few weeks since we've had like a normal podcast, right? Because all the travel, and I figured, well, let's try to start something new. I've been getting in a bad mood lately, and I think partly because it was at night, and it's like after working 14 hours, then you have to podcast, and I mean, face it, it starts to be work, right? So let's change it up. Let's try Friday afternoon, end of the week. I got a cerveza. What else? I don't know. Caesar on my kids. It's kind of important, right? That's a good thing. So we're all happy. We're all going to have a good time. We're going to talk a little Android. Is that okay?
That's perfect.
We could rewind.
Sounds good.
You know, Thursday night, if you want. I have the power to do that. Okay, fine.
You're a nerd, man. That's why we love you. You're just a nerd.
So what's been going on? Let's catch up. I got to hang out with Alex off and on all last week. That was cool. Don't get to
Yeah, it's pretty cool in New York for the thing, which we can't talk about.
We can kind of talk about it. I mean, it's not like a huge secret what we were doing, and I think it's pretty obvious we were shooting a whole bunch of video, right?
Sure, yeah.
I just can't tell you what TM13 stands for yet. I mean, I guess I could. Somebody actually guessed it, I think, in a Crackberry post.
Did they?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Somebody finally got it. I mean, that was, like, after a week, right? Mm. Yeah, I mean, we've all kind of said we're taking the old round-robin stuff that we used to do when the editors would get in a room for a month or whatever, you know, a week. I guess not a month, and trade phones and learn about each other's platforms. But it's different now because I think we all know each other's platforms so much better. Even, you know, I've got a Z10 here. I was playing with it again today. Just we're less siloed than we used to be. I think we understand we need to know Windows Phone better. We need to know BlackBerry better. So we've all been using each other's devices off and on anyway. So kind of doing that old school, hey, I'm going to use a BlackBerry for a week and then write about it. It just didn't quite fit anymore. It didn't quite work. So we're doing something different. You know, something obviously a little more produced. And so it's going to be cool. It's going to be interesting. I can't wait to see how it turns out. Because we're not doing all the editing and production and stuff ourselves. So, you know, we'll see. Still, I think we have a rough launch date. It's still going to be a little while. Just because it takes time to do this stuff. But I really hope it's worth everybody's while. Hope everybody's excited about it, and you know, we're not reinventing the wheel here, don't get me wrong, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. Questions? One at a time. Raise your hands.
Well, we don't have any questions.
Yeah, we already know what it is.
So that's TM13, by the way. All right, well, what do you want to start with Android-wise? You want to talk a little more about the Galaxy S4?
Hmm. Maybe. We could do that. Let's talk some Galaxy S4.
Kind of hard not to.
Yeah. Hey, Alex has one. I have one. Why'd you get white, Alex?
Because I used the black one in New York. Didn't really like the look of it. Because it's called, I think, Mist Black or something like that. It's not really a proper black color like the black Galaxy S3 was. It's kind of this off-gray. And on the back, you've got this reflective pattern, which I just thought the white looked better. And having seen it and picked it up and used it, I think I do prefer this design, the Samsung design, in the lighter color.
Yeah, I go back and forth, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, I like it. I tell you, so I'd been using the HTC One for what, like a month and a half up until now, so I've started using the Galaxy S4 full time. Because, you know, for everybody, you guys will never write about the Galaxy S4, it's only the HTC One. Well, I mean, that happens every time, but no, it's Galaxy S4 time. I like it. I'm kind of getting the feeling, Alex, that people are disappointed, you know, and I say disappointed in air quotes, because it's not some radical change from the GS3, I'm okay with that. I mean, they obviously had a successful phone with the GS3. Why would you change that up?
Yeah, that's a fair point, but I think there were improvements that people were hoping for, right? There was stuff about the GS3 that wasn't perfect that is maybe a bit disappointing that they haven't addressed. You know, so some things are design decisions, so the three buttons down below, the fact that there's a menu button, the fact that it is shiny plastic, and Samsung makes shiny plastic phones. But yeah, the fact that it isn't, there are still kind of points where TouchWiz will maybe get a little bit laggy, certain apps will take a while to load. You look at some of the other Snapdragon 600 phones that are out there, that's not the case there, so it's a bit disappointing to see that. That was the main point of my disappointment, I think, with it. But it, like you say, it's a good phone. It's a solid improvement on the GS3.
I think I hate TouchWiz less now. I'm still not...
Oh, really?
I mean, fundamentally, it's the same old TouchWiz, isn't it?
There's, right. Is that a good thing?
There isn't a whole... like, if you take the new features aside, like design-wise, it's still very much the same UI, isn't it?
And I'm not sure if I just hate it less because I'm accepting it, like I'm just trying it and fine. I mean, there are parts of it like the quick settings... How do I pull that down? Like the 5 million quick settings, if you can see it here on the video. I mean, that's just insane.
Yeah.
You know, you can hide some of them, but still, your eye cannot process, you know, that much stuff. And you'll get used to it, but it's nuts. I think I am glad they went 422. And it's interesting, the more I use it, the more 422 features they took advantage of. Like today we did the post about how to change the Life Companion little slogan on the lock screen. I mean, that's a 422 widget is all that is. Right, so that's relatively quickly they coded that in there. Probably not a huge feat of engineering, but interesting that they're not just using the 422 code base to say it's 422. They're actually putting features in there.
What else have we got from 422? I'm trying to think what there is feature wise. Is it just lock screen stuff?
That was kind of the big one, wasn't it, Jerry?
User facing, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff under the hood that we're, just enjoying without knowing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they moved the settings menu around, and that's fine. You can get used to that.
Wait. You're never allowed to say that's fine and TouchWiz settings in the same sentence.
Why?
That's the most horrible monstrosity. Right,
so it really is, isn't it?
Well, they made it so you're not scrolling down forever.
You're scrolling and then tapping the top. It's... when you scroll, you can take in a lot of information quickly. When you're tapping around, you don't know which list it's in. And because there's an overflow list as well, it's not even like it's categorized particularly well.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying not to hate.
Oh, you know what? If you're only ever going to listen to other people's opinion about the S4, ignore everybody that says it feels like an absolute piece of crap or any of that kind of stuff.
That's
it's ridiculous. A great phone.
Yeah.
It's TouchWiz that is causing me to not declare it the best phone ever.
Mm. That's probably a fair point, I think.
Yeah, even then, I've stopped using the HTC launcher on the One. And I've been using Action Launcher. And I haven't been a third-party launcher fan in a long time. I think what finally did it for me was I couldn't find any... And we've talked about the spacing before, how, starting with Ice Cream Sandwich, you would have the Google search bar, and every OEM would have that as a widget and not just, stuck up there like it's, Google wants it to be. And I couldn't find any launcher that did it right and just any third party. And so finally I gave Action Launcher a real try. Like I'd used it when it first came out. It's different. It's weird. But what really did it for me was, let me find the phone it's on. I have too many ones here. Was you can change the alignment, so you can actually stretch it out, and it takes up all of the screen like it's supposed to, and it just looks better. A couple things that you have to get used to with it, but I think Chris Lacy's done a really good job with it, and especially the update that just came out, where you can drag apps from the quick drawer onto the home screen. I mean, that fixes setup just so it's like that now. So for me, it works. It's been really good. And I think this is probably the launcher I'm going to stick with. I'm using the stock TouchWiz launcher just to get used to it so I can talk about it. But I think Action Launcher is what I'm going to use from now on the One. You guys need to wake up. Let's go.
We're listening.
I don't have a Galaxy S4, so I can't talk to you authoritatively about it.
Man.
I did see a guy at the coffee shop the other day was showing off to his friend that he just bought his Galaxy S4 and how fantastic it was. So there's at least one happy customer out there.
It's been.
I think a lot of people are going to be.
Sorry, go ahead.
I think a lot of people are going to be really happy with this, partly because of the familiarity factor, because a lot of people had S3s. This is a really solid update. It's new enough for it to be a real improvement for a lot of people, but familiar enough that they've got the kind of legacy that I think, I guess, companies like Apple have now. You look at HTC One, that's very much a new start, maybe a bit scary for some people.
Well,
and let's be honest, some people came from the Galaxy S2 to this, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you're going to get you're going to get far more people upgrading from that or from something else than you are going from the 3 to the 4 just because of the way updates work.
And that's a form of substantial update, isn't it? The S2 to S4 is a big, big jump.
S2 to S3 was big.
Sure.
I think. Alex, you went to Central Park and talked to some normal people, what we would call smartphone civilians, right? Not people who live and breathe this stuff every day. It was really interesting to see commenter reaction to that post, especially the people who said, you should have found better people to talk to. It's like, no, wait a minute. these are normal people. This is what we wanted. I mean,
And normal people don't know as much as the people who write about phones about phones. That's just common sense, right? And
they don't care.
Yeah, they don't get. Yeah, that as well. So, I mean, I was kind of surprised having, the thing you hear about the HTC One is it feels so much better in the hand. The build quality looks a lot better. It's a very pretty phone. You would think that first impressions, a lot of people would just say, okay, go with the one that feels nicer in the hand. It's got the curved back. It's metal. It feels like more premium materials. Surprisingly, a lot of people going with the Samsung design because it's either lighter, they like the bigger screen, it's more familiar for them. Quite a few people said that.
Yep.
So I think, that's what Samsung has working in its favor right now.
The speakers on the One are still a huge deal for me, I think. Watching videos.
Yeah, absolutely. Games,
like, nothing compares to that. The S4 is loud. And a lot of people, that's their question. How loud is it? Can I hear it? And it's loud. Absolutely. But it is so full on the One because it's coming right at you. It's deeper.
It's still a little sort of, not a pinhole, but kind of just a normal size speaker grill thing. It's not on the back.
What do you think about, let's talk cameras because that's the other big question. I think what it comes down to for me is the S4 is a really good all-around camera.
I would agree with that.
I would have no problem recommending that camera to anybody. I need to play with some of the features on it some more, but I think the HTC One, after another week or two of using this thing, I think the HTC One is still going to win out just because of things like Zoe's and video highlights, which for me have become really important for, sharing stuff I go to with friends and family and my kids and the things they do. And that's not to say that Samsung doesn't have really good stuff in here, because they do. And I'm madly in love with Samsung's camera app. They've always done a really good job with the camera app, but borrowing back from the Galaxy camera, I think, has made it that much better. I mean, that was it was kind of a no-brainer, but at the same time, it was a brilliant move. Because I think we can all agree the HTC One camera app still kind of... I mean, it's almost like so many other HTC things where it's like, all the pieces are there, but they just kind of overthought it and just sort of stepped back. Mm.
Yeah, it's kind of just a big list, whereas you've got icons and actual menus that you can scroll around, and it's a lot more friendly in the Galaxy S4.
Yeah. You guys agree, Jerry, Andrew?
Yeah. I'm feeling the HTC camera simply because my pictures all get taken in low light. So it's working for me, but... I think on the software side Samsung did a much better job.
Yeah, I'd say low light is decent on the S4, but there are certain conditions where, because I was playing around this in New York last week, where you'll get a traditional sort of blurry low light smartphone shot on the S4. Yeah. Switch the HTC One, it's perfectly crisp and looks fantastic. A lot of instances where that will happen. But all around, I think the S4 makes up for it in daylight with really, really great looking shots. We should probably mention that the European HTC One actually got an update this week that changed around some of the camera stuff. I think HDR is working a bit differently now. HDR shots look a bit better and backlight doesn't wash out quite as much. So, yeah, maybe we do put them head-to-head at some point and see the latest.
And it's important to mention that those fixes that the UK one got were already in the US versions of the HTC One.
Yeah.
I think that got lost, and actually I didn't even notice it in the email that I got it first. But so if you have a US HTC One, this latest camera update is already in there and has been in there since you got it.
Yep.
So,
You know what? That explains why there was such a disparity of people with pictures.
Yeah.
The US versions were taking much better pictures. Now I get it. I didn't know that it was already in the US either. So
yeah, I didn't until like 2 days ago. I was looking back over an email list and it's like, oh, well, hey, that changes things. So cool. I like the S4. I like it a lot. Everyone's asking us to pick. I don't know if I'm ready to make us all pick one yet. Because I want to make sure we've all gotten to try it. Andrew, have you gotten to try the S4 yet?
Do you have to pick one?
Well, and that's the other thing. I don't think you do. I mean, people...
Normal people do.
The user that makes a purchase has to pick one, obviously.
And that's why they're asking.
Does it have to be between those two? I mean, that doesn't have to be the case.
Segue.
Ooh, yeah.
What have you been playing with this week, Andrew?
Well, I've got the Xperia ZL here, which is the unlocked European model. And...
That's not the European
one. That's the U.S. one.
Yeah, that's the U.S. one that Sony's selling directly.
It's the unlocked U.S. model.
Yes.
Mm. So that's the one that'll do LTE on T-Mo and AT&T. It's kind of a big deal.
It does HSPA 42 and LTE on AT&T and T-Mobile. But it's expensive. It's like $760 from Sony style store.
And you broke it already.
That's great. I love that Andrew managed to break this, because I spend most Sony reviews are for me. I'm so used to Sony phones that I don't even try to do what Andrew did.
Man. Well, that's the thing. It wasn't even. Anyways, we should explain.
Yeah, that was me saying.
Sony phones come with a screen protector pre-installed, but it's like an actual screen protector. It's not just a little flimsy one that's just there for shipping.
Right.
It's not supposed to come off. And it actually wasn't hard for me to peel up the corner, but once you get the corner up, you realize that it's like glued on there and it's not supposed to be coming off. So the Sony logo is actually on the screen protector, not on the screen. It's not meant to be removed.
Whoops.
Yeah. Other than that, though, the phone is nice. I
forgot to mention your check's going to be a little lighter this month. I'm just kidding.
By about $759.
I'm just kidding. maybe.
No, but it's really nice. I've actually liked the Sony software way more than I thought I was going to. Everything's kind of in the same place as I'm used to on my Nexus 4, but they've just kind of flattened things out and made them nice and kind of clean and grayscale and added some more just their own touches to it. But the hardware is fantastic. And it's a 5-inch phone that's actually smaller than the Nexus 4, even though it's 5 inches, which is kind of interesting. It's easier to use in the hand than the Nexus 4, which is kind of crazy.
It's nice. I played with it for a few minutes. The big giant power button on the side is kind of weird.
It's kind of low, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about halfway down on the side.
I mean, you get used to it, but it's just different.
Yeah. And, I end up hitting volume down thinking it's the power button every single time. But and it takes some great pictures. I've put some on Google Plus and I've shown Jerry a few, and it takes some really, really high quality pictures.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, we got to the point where we were we were past, oh, those pictures are great for a phone. We were to the point where those pictures are great for pictures.
Yeah.
You know, like something you would take with a professional camera.
And I think Alex experienced the same when he reviewed the Z, right?
The Xperia Z has, as I understand, it's exactly the same camera module. And of course, the internal specs are the same as well. So it's fundamentally the same camera on that phone.
Right. Yeah, and this one's got a hardware shutter key as well. And it's a dual detent, so you can half press to focus and all that. So if you really want to nerd out on camera, it's a great option.
Yeah, that's something I missed on the Z. They took that out for some reason.
I'm wondering if it was a thickness thing, because this phone's a couple millimeters thicker than the Z, actually. It's pretty chunky.
Maybe the Z is kind of blocky though. It is it's thinner, but it's the sides aren't as curved. It is very, very angular. Right. So it's thinner, but you don't necessarily get the benefit of that.
All right, so let me ask you guys something about thickness, because I've been thinking a lot about that the last couple of days, especially with the, you know, the Galaxy S4 is super thin. The HTC One is really thin. And then I got this monster case, the Mophie case for the HTC One. Do I have both of them sitting here? Where's my other HTC One? I lost it. I lose so many phones over here, it's ridiculous. Charging on the other side of the room. I mean, yeah, so this case, it more than doubles the thickness and adds like more than half an inch to the height of an already really tall phone. But actually, it feels like it fits in the hand very nicely. I mean, it doesn't feel
like a thunderbolt, a black thunderbolt.
It really does.
Yeah, the thing.
Exactly. I mean,
it's so, probably not much that much thicker than something like the Thunderbolt or what like the Evo 4G was. I mean, those were like 14-15 millimeters thick.
Yeah, it's over there. So are we too thin again? Are the phones just thin for the sake of being thin? And I mean, then you have something like the Z10, which isn't, you know, thick by anyone's standards, but it's obviously thicker than, you know, the Galaxy S4. So I mean, should we go back to slightly thicker phones and get maybe larger batteries or?
I think it's not just about the, you know, the number of how many millimeters thick it is, but it's about the ergonomics. I mean,
yeah,
if you have something like the Xperia Z or like the Nexus 4, they're not crazy thin, but when they're flat and angular, they're kind of get awkward to hold. And then you have other rounded off devices that just feel a little better because they fill out the back of your hand because you can actually grip around them. You're not feeling like you're just holding the side. So I don't know if it's necessarily just a thickness number.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly that, so I'm just going to keep quiet now.
All right, then. I don't know. What else? I mean, Galaxy 4, Galaxy S4, I'm having a good time with it. I like it. I had to turn off, we did a post on how to turn off all those annoying sounds, because this thing bleeps and bloops. I think more than the last one. Like, it's cute for like 5 minutes, and then you're just, stop. Please make them stop. How do I make them stop? It's bad. They're nice. They're nice sounds. They did a nice job with them. Bleep, bloop,
bloop, bleep, yeah.
Bloop.
And that's another thing about this, about TouchWiz. TouchWiz is full of features, and it's kind of noisy and messy, but you can customize the hell out of it. So if there's any aspect of it that you don't like, chances are there's a setting buried somewhere that'll let you control it.
Bleep, bloop. I'm just going to do that like, over you for the rest of the show now. Beep. Sorry. I tell you, another alternative, while we're talking alternative phones to the Galaxy S4 and the HTC One, AT&T finally announced the LG Optimus G Pro, which was kind of no surprise because LG went ahead and said, hey, here's what this event that you're going to is all about. And I mean, it had been leaked out there for so long anyway. But really nice phone, guys. I haven't gotten to play with the AT&T version yet, but I've got the Korean version somewhere. I don't know where it went either. I lose so many phones. You don't even know. Like, I'll find it in like 2 days. Where did it go? That one's been sitting in front of me for like 2 weeks. Now we do a podcast and I can't find it. Man. So it's,
you put the podcast on top of it.
Oh, I know where it is. I see it. Can't reach it either. No, it's really nice. It's bigger than the Galaxy S4. It's smaller than the Note 2. Not by much, but by a little bit. It's, you know, bigger display, higher resolution than the Note 2. The Note 3 obviously will have a 1080p display, right? I mean, if at least. If it doesn't, I will eat it. I will eat a Note 3 this fall if it doesn't have a 1080p display, at least.
Please.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, there you go.
No, I mean, of course it will. But for now, really, really nice larger phone if that's what you like to go for. Andrew Vakat's got it up in New York, and you know, decent camera. You know, the software is okay. It's really fast, really nice display, and it feels really good. I was surprised how much I like that phone, and I don't like big phones. I would never use a Note 2, but this, for some reason, just felt different. Do you think maybe it's just because in my mind I know it doesn't have a stylus and I'm not supposed to do all this pin stuff with it?
I mean,
it is a little bit. I think it's narrower than the Note 2, isn't it? And that makes a big difference.
A little bit, yeah. Not a lot, but
easier to palm in your hand. That's why, right. Going from the Note 1 to the Note 2, that was a big step up for ergonomics because they switched to a 16:9 screen, which frees up a lot of space for your hand.
Hey, Jerry, I want to circle back. Actually, I mean, the LG Optimus G Pro is so awesome, we're going to quit talking about it already. We'll have a review next week. I want to circle back to the Galaxy S4 for a second, because we haven't talked about the storage space thing, and that was kind of a big issue for a lot of people. Yeah. So, I mean... Hey, look.
You know, people accused me of sticking up for Samsung in the carriers, and, you know, maybe I am, but it's... Well, first, I guess we need to start at the beginning. If you buy a 16-gigabyte Galaxy S4, you're only going to have about 8.5 to 9 gigabytes of space that you can actually use.
And this is you know, been the case for computers, to say nothing of smartphones, forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
You never get all of the storage that they list, period.
Right. First off, it's not really 16 gigabytes because manufacturers like to think of terms of even thousands, and you really have 1,024. Anyway, it's math. There's not really 16 gigabytes there. I don't want to screw it up, so I'm not going to finish that thought. And then you have to put the operating system somewhere. And TouchWiz, what are we at now, 5? Is this TouchWiz 5?
I think 6 or 5.5 or something like that.
TouchWiz 5.5, whichever it is, takes up about 8 gigs of that space. You know, that's just the way it is. If you want all this stuff, if you want it to be able to track your eyes and to, you know, turn off when you look away and pause your video, that those apps have to go somewhere.
Mm.
The kicker is when you compare it to the Nexus 4, the Nexus 4 uses about 600 megabytes, which is, you know, what, 5.5 gigabytes less space used. And, you know, that's an issue. But you know, you've got an SD card. You can put your movies and your music on if you want. And, you know, you've got 8-9 gigabytes of app space.
Right. That's Are people just, really putting 8 gigs of apps on their phone?
Well, I mean, you can do it a lot quicker than you used to.
Yeah, and games. That could be, you can take 2 gigs or more. Yeah.
My issue isn't so much that these ROMs are taking up so much space, because, I mean, we've been doing ROM dumps, Jerry, on every phone for how many years now, right? And we've watched it increase, you know, every 8-10 months. You're like, oh my God, that's 400 megabytes. Holy crap, this one's 800 megabytes. And the Galaxy S3 was like a gig. And then the GS4 is 2 gig. I've got them sitting here. I can pull the exact numbers if we care.
Well, that's another thing, too. It's not that the files, there's not 8 gigabytes of files themselves, right, but the space, and once you expand everything, and the reserved portions.
Right. It's my issue isn't that the ROMs themselves are getting bigger, because like you say, that's going to happen. I mean, that doesn't mean that the manufacturer shouldn't, you know, try to keep things as lean as they can, but they have features they want to get in these things, right? I mean, if you don't want them, get a Nexus or, you know, ROM the thing. But for me, the big deal is, no, I don't think you should be allowed to advertise a 16 gigabyte phone. You know, you need to say exactly, here's how much storage you get. Now, the problem is it just gets messy, right? People learn 16, 32, 64, right? Or it used to be, you know, 4, 8, yep, you know, whatever.
And actually, that's kind of a point in itself. Do we know if anyone in the US is going to be selling the 32 or 64 gig version?
AT&T? No, I'm thinking the HTC One. I don't think anybody has mentioned it.
Because I know there was supposedly a 64 gig Galaxy S3, which just, in Europe at least, just never arrived last year.
Right. So. I mean, it's odd. So for me, the issue is,
at least one carrier had said 32 was coming.
They might have.
I think it was AT&T.
AT&T said it was coming. I thought no dates, no price, no nothing. But yeah, we're going to get it.
Yeah. But so the bigger issue right now is that nobody's offering a larger capacity phone, and that this thing of 16 gigabytes asterisk actual available storage will vary depending on blah, blah, blah. No, tell me how much is there. You know, put it on the damn box, right? Because that's... It's not false advertising. It's just lazy and it's dumb, and it requires people to, you know, come to blogs to get that stuff. And your consumers deserve better, I think. There, now I'm pissed off.
What do you think of the argument?
Old Phil is back.
What do you think of the argument that it matters less because it's upgradable storage space? I mean, that you can kind of see that.
Mm-mm.
the argument there, but it's on the other hand.
Because the SD card can't be used in every single internal.
Yeah, they if they're going to clean up their advertising, they need to clean up around the SD card as well. That's, if you think of it as a place to put your movies, your music, and your documents, you're good to go. If you think of it as anything else, maybe, maybe not. They're not tightly integrated like the storage we're talking about.
Right.
I mean, just, and they make it sound like it is. You know, they always use that word, upgradable. And it's really not.
There's a column in there somewhere. I mean, just do the right thing. It's, you know, just say 16 gigabytes of storage. You have 9 with which to use. Put it right there on the box. It almost goes back to the old 4G thing. Which box was it on? I can't reach the box. So far away. I think it was the Samsung Infuse, right? It said 4G, you know, 4G device.
Yep.
And then, wait, not really 4G. It's, you know.
Was it enhanced backhaul?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was the old enhanced backhaul clause. And it's just ridiculous. And it's basically giving a middle finger to the people who are buying these devices from you in the first place. And it's not good.
And do you think it's just the fact that they think they're going to get 16 and it turns out to be 8.5? Or do you think it's that they actually would need more than that 8.5?
Well, all right, so there's the question. At what point is that discrepancy okay? Because we've all accepted it for so long, right? Like, I have a 256 gigabyte Mac here. I don't have 256 gigabytes of space. And even without the OS, because of the way the math works, it's still not 256. Right. So, I mean, there's some wiggle room that everybody accepts. So, what's the magic number?
Yeah. We've reached a tipping point where it starts to get towards half of the storage being unavailable, right? We've seen it. I think there was the Surface Pro or one of the Surface tablets that had a similar kind of controversy around it? When you start seeing 8-point-whatever available out of 16, that people's minds suddenly jump to, oh, that's half of the storage taken up already, so you're actually getting half of what you're paying for. And that, I think, is what's pissing people off.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like you say, there is some wiggle room. And on earlier phones, when I think the Galaxy S3 had something like 11 or 10 free, no headlines about that. No one really cared. But if you're creeping down towards 8, that's... I don't know. There's no right answer to that, really.
Yeah, I mean, 50% is, you know,
that's pretty bad.
I would definitely say something, but you know, when it's 70, when it's 75, did anybody, you know, really raise up? I mean, for us, I think it's always something we've had in our reviews. You know, yes, you have 16 gigabytes, but here's how much space you actually get. But it needs to be in the box. They just need to be upfront about that stuff.
So the HTC First has 12 gigs free, 12 out of 16. And that's pretty normal, right?
Yeah, I mean, and that's a pretty lean ROM, right? Because that's just, stock with the launcher.
They don't have a lot in there.
Yeah, it's stock with the
launcher. Yeah, and you've got some space reserved for updates and stuff, you know, that it's partitioned in such a way that it isn't just the OS. There's some free space that they leave as wiggle room as well.
Yeah. What else? We're starting to get into the weird silly season again. I was going to wait till next week to talk about Google I.O. unless you guys have anything pressing you want to talk about. I'll be in
the let's do Google I.O.
You want to do it now?
Schedule and all that.
Yep.
All right.
You've been outvoted.
Fair enough. And we'll talk about it again next week, I'm sure. So they released the sessions this week. You know, go to Google to see them. It's, and by the way, if you haven't, you know, chances are you haven't been to Google I.O. It's really awesome developer conference. Just so many smart things going on there. And the really cool thing is they stream a lot of it live and they record almost all of it so you can watch it later. So even if you can't be there, you can still catch all the stuff. And I don't understand half of it, but the snippets I pick up are just like, damn, that's cool. You know, Jerry, on the other hand, just goes nuts. It's cute to watch.
Yeah, I have a good time. I mean, I nerd out big time. It's, I don't know. I mean, my eyes glaze over and it's like Nirvana.
So what are we expecting? I mean, Jerry, we see a lot of gaming kind of on the Android track, and on the Chrome track. I mean, seeing all these stories, Google's getting serious about gaming. I think they've always been kind of serious about gaming. I mean, we've had games in the Google Plus thing for a while, and those kind of fell off.
I think these recent gaming stories are more an infrastructure and a service thing than anything that's going to be directly tied to Android. That's just my guess.
I think you're right.
You know, the infrastructure has to come first before we can have apps that use it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The really interesting thing I might want to see gaming-wise is if you imagine, you know, the Nexus Q just completely disappeared last year.
Yep.
That's still supposedly in the works. If they could tie the new stuff they're doing in the software space with a Nexus Q type device to run Android games, I mean, we've all seen what the Ouya people are doing. So maybe that's a possibility. I don't know. It's been very quiet on the Nexus Q the past year. So,
would you like me to talk?
I just want to be able to save my Plague Inc. scores between all these phones I have.
Oh, my God.
Mm.
Would you guys like
if
me to talk?
That's the one thing they do. I think people would love it.
Would you like me to talk for 10 or 15 minutes about how awesome the Nexus Q is?
Oh, I could listen just, for 10 or 15
anybody?
Minutes.
let's pull up that that animated GIF of you rubbing the Nexus Q.
No, I totally agree. They had a good thing there, and the premise is still there. And I tell you, actually, as I still use it, apps like YouTube still have design features that have been updated since then. So, you know, when it says playing in living room, you know, it doesn't say it like in some janky broken way, like you're playing it on a Nexus Q. That's cute. Like it looks like it's supposed to be there. So it would not surprise me at all to still see something come out of that. I really hope it does, because that's the way to do it. You have that secondary device that's actually doing all the legwork, and it's controlled by your phone. Works great. Key Lime Pie or whatever the hell it's going to be, the next giant version of Android. Yay, nay, Alex?
It's December.
December. I think if we see anything in a couple of weeks, it'll be Jelly Bean maintenance release or MR, whatever it is, 2.
Yeah.
I think some people are already seeing 4.3 builds rolling around. That wouldn't surprise me at all if that's what eventually showed up. But the major stuff I think is going to be saved for whatever the big new phone is that they release at the end of the year.
It's almost like people forgot that Google has publicly said, we're slowing down our development cycle a little bit. We're not going to do these 2 and 3 major releases a year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, fall, you know, late fall makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
So, Nexus 5, it's funny. I've seen all these, like, stories for people positioning the Nexus 5, and so they can say, we've got 20 stories about the Nexus 5 already. I don't think...
Nexus 5 reviews.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that's happening, guys. LTE Nexus 4, what do you guys think? Yes?
Do what?
An LTE Nexus 4? That's... the big rumor now.
So we kind of heard last year that they were testing them, mm-hmm. and then it just went completely silent. So I think it could probably go either way. I haven't heard anything specific, but
I'm going to make a gut call, and I'm going to say we see a software update, and the devices from the Play Store have LTE for T-Mobile. I think that's what it's going to be.
Mm, could be.
And now that T-Mobile's finally flipped the switch.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we've been keeping an eye on the FCC listings thing where, you know, if it was going to pop up LTE certification for it, it would. Nothing's happened there yet, but there is still time.
Do you think they will start selling an AT&T LTE version then?
I hope so.
And remember, go back to the...
progression, wouldn't it?
Go back to the Nexus.
I would like to think they could do what Sony's done and have one, maybe if this update doesn't happen, maybe have one that is multi-band that will work on, you know,
right. I mean,
HSBA
that would be
or LTE
that would be
on
hardware.
Either of them.
And that's how they did it with the Nexus One, right? Remember, initially it was T-Mo. It was T-Mo for 3G, and then you could get AT&T UMTS, or God, I don't remember what was before 3G.
Edge,
thank you. It was so long ago. And then, you know, 2-3 months into it, they released one that did AT&T 3G. So I could maybe see that happen
too.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and Sprint has had the last two Nexuses. So
6 months late too.
Yeah, 6 months late. So possibility there maybe for a Sprint version. And we know they were testing one at some point. So
if they are going to make an AT&T version, I think you're right, Alex. They're best off just making one that works on both. You know, they already clearly have supply chain problems, so don't complicate it by making two models.
I don't know. You would have thought after however many months it is, you know, 8 months or whatever since they launched. They've had a chance to fix the supply chain problems that,
yeah.
that
were affecting the early days. I think so, but I don't want them to just complicate it more by making two different ones. You know, it's not hard to just include both bands in one phone.
True, especially you know, both GSM carriers. I'm interested to see if they do the same in Europe.
Well, the one thing I am almost sure about is if we do see carrier versions of the Nexus 4, we won't see that at I.O. That's not – you look at the versions they've put on Sprint in the past, those were a Sprint thing to announce and to take care of. Google didn't step up front and center with that.
That's true.
And, you know, they weren't AOSP devices right off the bat. Google has to distance themselves a little bit. You know, at the beginning for those things. So don't look for a Sprint Nexus 4 to come from Google I.O., even if it's going to come.
New tablet.
What would be really cool, I think they might be able to pull off, is if they manage to get a multi-band one for AT&T and T-Mo, if they're able to cram even more bands into it and have a truly global LTE phone, that would be a huge deal for them, I think.
Basically what this
stick
what
the ZL is. Do the two for AT&T and T-Mo and stick the three for Europe in there as well. Yeah. I would buy that.
What about updated tablet? Nexus 7.
Yeah, I think that's probably a given.
Yeah,
we've been hearing rumors about that for a while. It makes sense. It's been a year since the Nexus 7. Nexus 8 would be the obvious name. They want to give a slightly bigger screen, less bezel. All very obvious things for a new Nexus tablet, and hopefully still a very affordable price point.
And Kevin O'Quinn and I have spent the last month just pouring through code and poking around and trying to get everything we can think of. I don't have enough to put it on the blog, but we're pretty convinced there's going to be a touchscreen enabled Nexus 4 Chromebook.
Nexus what?
Tegra 4 Chromebook.
Tegra 4. Just checking.
There's the code is there. They're making somebody's not going to all this trouble without actually making a device.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I think you're probably right there.
That'll be fun.
What about a watch? Because that was the other rumor. You know, hearing whispers about that as well. Glass is obviously a big thing, but for the rest of us, for people that aren't in their Explorer program, people who don't want to pay $1,500 for a wearable computer, that maybe something a little bit more affordable might be coming at I.O. What do you think about that?
Man, that's themselves a little thin at this point.
Oh, no. See, Andrew, people say that and they have no idea, right?
I think so.
No, HTC should only work on one phone, you know. Samsung needs to not make something. No. We have no idea how many people they have slated for all this stuff, how many it takes. So no, I'm going to poo-poo you for saying that. Poo-poo.
I have to think that they've spent this whole time talking about Glass, and then.
So I think Glass was a Google
side a little bit, or.
Glass was a Google X thing, wasn't it? If you go back to where it came from, it came from Google's crazy Skunkworks facility, or whatever you want to call it. What the rumors are suggesting, and what based on stuff we've kind of heard, I think there was an article in the Wall Street Journal, and it was kind of backed up by some other stuff, that this is the Android team that's working on this watch. It's very much an Android product, and it's designed to tie into phones. Whereas Glass is, of course, linked to the phones, but it's more of a standalone thing, more of a Google thing rather than an Android thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out in 2 weeks, guys. Can you believe how close that is? Oh, my God. It's going to be nuts. It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait.
Yep.
And then I'll come home for like 2 days and go back to Vegas for CTIA the week after that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any idea what's coming out of that. Verizon has an event, and that's like the only thing going on right now that I know of. I'm sure there'll be some other stuff. What do you guys think about that Motorola phone that's been leaking out? It's leaked out a couple times now, right? And most
I think there's going to be a whole lot of people disappointed.
Why?
I mean,
well, why? Because all the way it's been hyped and the way people are talking and all these rumors that other people are saying, it's just that can't happen. And what we're seeing, you know, maybe it's the final version, maybe not the final version, maybe it's not even the same phone.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're seeing looks like, you know, a nice little mid-level phone.
I think Motorola is obviously working on more than one phone.
Yeah.
And if you look at what's leaked out so far, a lot of it points towards mid-range stuff, but of course they're always going to have a high-end thing as sure. well. And the whole X Phone project, if you want to call it that, and you know, obviously leaked as it has been, that's got to be about more than just this little mid-range device that they want to sell either in stores or through AT&T or whatever.
I agree.
I don't know. I think that the smart thing, if because Google's in the picture, if we weren't talking about Google owning Motorola, I would have to say you're, you know, 100% behind what you're saying. But with Google in the picture, why not a very well-built mid-level phone they can sell on Google Play for $300?
Well, there was something that we posted on the forums a while back. We were hearing from someone who'd supposedly seen one of these. The really juicy part of that we weren't able to 100% confirm was that supposedly it had the word Nexus on the back. But whether it does or whether it doesn't, there was a lot we were hearing about these removable back covers, the fact that it was meant to be a really good mid-level device that would sell for a low price point in the US, and it would be really a mass market device. So I think a lot of what you're saying is definitely in the picture, whether it's marketed as an X phone, whether it's marketed as a Nexus, whether it's primarily Google or whether it's primarily Motorola.
And I mean, this is not a new thing. Nokia has been doing it for a while. Project Shield's doing it, you know, with the different custom covers. So we'll see. I agree. I think it's just been way overhyped, and because it's made by Motorola now, I think anything that made by Motorola is going to have this, oh my God, is it a Nexus? Is it a whatever scrutiny? And it's just kind of ridiculous. That's what I think.
And we're judging the hype of this multi-phone project based on having still next to no real information about any of the phones.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Right. We've just got, frankly, stupid rumors. A lot of really stupid rumors.
Jerry said it, folks. Jerry at androidcentral.com. And I agree with him.
Yep.
All right, why don't we start wrapping it up? I got a handful of email or voicemails, actually, I want us to go through. We got a bunch. We got six, and they are all very, very good. And by the way, if you want to send one to us, the best way you can do it, in fact, we might not even give out the phone number anymore. What do you guys think about that? What if we stop using the
higher quality voicemail?
Yeah.
Because
the quality is pretty bad. All right, so we're not even going to give out the phone number anymore. If you want to send us a voicemail, do it, record it. You can even record it on your phone. That works surprisingly well. And then email it to us at podcast@androidcentral.com. So, Renee, if you are ready, let's start with Eric.
Hey, guys. This is Eric from St. Louis. Just calling. I had a question about my wife's Nexus 4. I was hoping you guys could help me out with. I've got her set up on Straight Talk through AT&T, and I'm having a world of a time trying to get the correct ATN settings for her text messages and MMS messages to actually work consistently and properly. That's about the only thing she uses on a smartphone more than anything, and I really want to get it working. She's been getting kind of frustrated, and I'd hate to her to go try to get a different phone that's not Android that might just work. So if you guys could point me in the right direction. I've tried some different things through online forums, but I'm just not having any luck. So I was hoping maybe one of you has a Nexus 4 on Straight Talk with AT&T, with an AT&T SIM, and maybe you could share the settings that you're using. Other than that, that's all I was really calling about. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work, and I just love the podcast. Listen every week.
There's nothing...
Both Jerry and Phil has used...
Yeah.
Straight Talk AT&T as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing more you should need to do than go to the Straight Talk website, and in the support section, there's, you know, two settings. One's for T-Mobile, although, are they still using T-Mobile? I don't remember. One for T-Mobile and one for AT&T, and then you just input them in right then. So there's, as far as I know, no, like, secret APN to use that's better or anything. You just put it in and it works. Now, the thing you do need to remember to do, if you take the SIM card out, if you, you know, swap in a different one, when you first put it back in, it's going to say, it's going to try to automatically connect to T-Mobile, or and I'm thinking how it works on my T-Mobile one, so I'm not sure if AT&T is the same way. So you need to swap it back over to the Straight Talk APN instead of the one it thinks it's supposed to be using. But otherwise, it's really straightforward. So give that a shot. If you're missing the settings, they should be there on Straight Talk's website.
Yeah, and just to be able to get consistent texts and calls and everything, you shouldn't need anything special other than on their Straight Talk SIM website, they have a phone programming area and make sure you're choosing the correct one, the AT&T one, and should be able to just plug in everything and double check and hit save, do a reboot, and it should be there.
Yep. Okay, next, let's go to, how about, it's either Jet or Jeff. I'm not sure which. Renee, he's listed as the first Jeff.
How are you doing? This is Jack Collins from the D.C. area. I was calling because I had a question. I currently use an Android 4 and have multiple issues with it rebooting, have the device replaced. And through my work, I'm given the option to upgrade to either the Spectrum 2 or the Motorola, the M. I'm not sure, the Razer M. I'm trying to figure out with the Razer M, or the Spectrum 2 seem to have a better screen. I heard it's getting Jelly Bean soon. And I'm just wondering, why would someone pick the Razer M over the Spectrum 2? Just give me your thoughts on that, right?
I think Motorola is going to probably get better long-term support at this point. Just look at what they've done in the past 6 months for all their older phones. I mean, they're all getting updated, you know, quicker than they used to be, right?
Yeah, the main things with the Razer M, I think you would want to watch out for the screen, is QHD and Pentile AMOLED. So it's probably not as good as what you would get on the Spectrum. I'm not sure exactly what the Spectrum
is. One of those things to look at and see if it bothers you first.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Get one in store and take a look at that. And the camera, apparently, I think in our review, we called that out as being kind of weak on the Razer M.
Cool. All right, let's go to, or was that Chip, maybe? I couldn't quite hear. I'm sorry. Again, that's why we want you to start recording him and sending him in. Now we have Jeffrey TZ.
Hi, this message is for the Android Central podcast. Hi, guys. This is Jeffrey TZ in Chicago. And, hey, I got to tell you, I love my Nexus 4. I love Android. But I am so done with this Bluetooth stack in 4.2.2. It's a bit of a rant. It's just insane how bad it is. And I don't understand why Google hasn't fixed it. I constantly have problems where when I try to pause on the lock screen, when I'm listening to a podcast using my Bluetooth headset, the phone sometimes will let me unpause it again. Sometimes it won't. If I go into dog catcher, it'll lock up. If I have my Bluetooth headset connected and I try to connect my Pebble or my MetaWatch or my Strata, one or the other will lock up. Sometimes the phone will lock up. I have to completely reboot. If I use my S9 headphones from Motorola, I get the same thing. So it's definitely the Bluetooth stack. And when you go through the Android troubleshooting things on Google, you know, you see some of this stuff. So I just don't understand why it's not fixed. And one of the reasons I'm excited to get my HTC One today, I ordered a developer edition, is because it's going back to 4.1.2, because I didn't have any problems at all with Bluetooth on that. So, you know, Jerry, branch this thing, fix it, do something. seriously, though, I'm curious what you think. Why is Google on this? Are they working on it? Because it's been going on since 4.2.2 came out, and I'm not the only one. Thanks, guys. Love the podcast. Keep good work.
Thanks to Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry.
Why haven't you been working on this?
I've been busy doing other, I don't know.
Get sure emails.
So there's the legit question. Is there anything you can do if you get, because we've all had phones that have had just crappy Bluetooth stacks. I think, you know, in fact, the one of the fixes in the UK update for that HTC One was Bluetooth. And I actually had a Bluetooth device that it, you know, would connect to, but it was just horrible. It was popping and scratching and cutting in and out, and they've apparently fixed that. So is there anything we as users can do, or do you just have to, are we at the mercy of the manufacturers for Bluetooth?
You've got the people making headsets using features and versions that Google can't use for a Nexus device. There is, anytime you use the word Nexus, you always have to remember distribution licenses are everything.
By the way, you know, actually stop right there. That is, I've seen two stories in the past week saying that that HTC has been able to do something that Google could not when it released an LTE, you know, unlocked device. right? It's not that Google can't.
Right.
It's not that it's physically impossible for Google to do that. But with Nexus devices that, you know, are submitting code upstream is not the right metaphor here, Jerry, but you know what I'm saying.
Right. I can't fathom how much work was involved between Google and Verizon to get the Verizon Galaxy Nexus back into AOSP so they could redistribute the binary stuff.
Right.
What we're talking about is, you know, if I'm Samsung and I write radio, especially for Verizon, Google's just not allowed just to pass that out.
Right.
It's not, you can't really hack it. It's not open source, but that's mine. And I've licensed it out only to Verizon. Google's not allowed just to give it to everybody.
And that's what both of these stories ignored. And
right.
And that makes all the difference in the world. So, you know, whatever. So anyway, sorry.
And the Bluetooth stack is the same way. HTC can pay whoever they want and include, you know, things in the Bluetooth stack because they're not redistributing it. There's an RUU out there for the developer edition, which is kind of interesting. Now I'm going to have to look at the Bluetooth for it. But other than that, you know, this is part of the reason why HTC doesn't want their RUUs to be redistributed.
Right.
They're not allowed to just give these files to anybody. Even if you already bought them on the phone you bought, they're not allowed to give you a second copy.
It's software.
And yes, that's Google. They can't do that on their AOSP device. They could build a phone and not redistribute the binaries and put whatever they wanted on it. But that's not what we want them to do.
Right. Very good explanation.
I'm just glad I don't have to worry about that on a day-to-day basis. the guys that, you know, I bet that's just a good way to pull all your hair out.
Yeah. Let's go to Robert.
This is Robert from Android Central Podcast. Quick question. I'd like to have an explanation as to why phones deteriorate in quality. And what I mean is I have an S2. Day one when I had it, it was great. But I'm using it like it's supposed to. I haven't hacked it or anything. And it's egregiously slow. It slows down. It freezes. It's choppy. The battery life is terrible. So I'd like someone to explain to me a technical reason for why these phones deteriorate. And this is not the first I've had that does this. They coincidentally deteriorate before my Peter contract's up too. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Jerry, Bitrot, or anybody. I keep going to Jerry. He doesn't know all the technical stuff. Bit rot. I mean, do we get bit rot on phones like we do on computers, or no? Anybody?
I don't think.
I mean, phones are computers, right? So right.
There's a little bit of that, you know, bit rot, as you've heard, like with Windows computers, so to speak. But if you were using the phone literally the exact same way, with the same applications that required the same amount of resources before, you probably wouldn't see such a dramatic slowdown, but applications have started to be more demanding in the last 2 years, and your phone has not gotten more powerful.
That's a good point.
Mm.
I didn't even think of it that way. I mean, look at what's that weather app that just got a huge update the other day?
The Weather
Channel, I think. Weatherbug, that's it. It uses so much more resources than it did the first time I downloaded it 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
If I've been using that app for 2 years, it's going to need a lot more beef to run it than it did the first time I tried it.
And he mentioned battery life also. That may just be, at this point, your battery has just had a lot of cycles on it in 2 years. That's part of that too.
Yeah.
The battery is probably the most likely component that's going to fail, or at least you're going to see reduced performance out of it after the average amount of charges you would get in a 2-year contract.
And I was just all I could do not to answer when Phil said, let's ask somebody other than Jerry. Yes, Bitrot is there. It's leaving behind stuff. Yes, my God, 2 years, reset your phone. Yeah. Don't even fight with it. Just factory reset.
If you haven't done a factory reset in 2 years, it might be the.
Okay, well, in that case, I guess we're done. I'm playing the outro music in my head, even though I can't hear it yet. I'll put it in later. Never mind. Bartonic, wrap us up.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's fine. So if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can email us at podcast@androidcentral.com or, of course, find us on Google Plus. And I'm some crazy long string of numbers, and so is Alex, and so is Jerry.
But you know what mine
Phil
is?
Should be plus Phil Nickinson.
That's right. You know why?
And I believe we're also plus Android Central. We should have that as well. And we also have a new revamped YouTube channel that you should go look at.
Yes, we do.
With, I believe Phil will talk to you when you go to the YouTube channel now.
Only if you're not subscribed. And that's kind of like, it's black.
Oh, interesting.
Or extortion or something. Yeah. So if you subscribe, you won't hear me anymore.
Exactly. To get rid of Phil, subscribe.
Exactly. Hey, you know what else we got out there now? Sort of.
We interact with some people on Twitter too, but Google Plus is the main place to go. Yeah. And of course, we're as always every week brought to you by shopandroid.com. Call 888-468-6158. And if you want to leave us a voicemail, email the voicemail to us. We do not want you to call us anymore.
That's right. So don't even read that line.
Nope. I'm not going.
Good job, Andrew. Kind of put him on the spot there. Hey, you know what else we got out there? If you haven't seen it in the forums, we are open beta testing our new app. It's getting there. So we still got stuff we're fixing. We still have features we're putting in. But the really cool thing is you can log in and comment and post in the forums. You can comment on the blog posts. You can download wallpapers too, by the way, which is really cool.
It's a podcast.
Yeah. So a lot of, yeah, you can listen to the podcast directly from the app now, which is really cool. So, go give that a shot if you haven't yet. We'll put it up in Google Play eventually. We're getting there. But, you know, we still got some stuff we want to work out. So keep that in mind until you use it. I know we tend to use the word beta like it doesn't mean anything anymore, but it does. So we're getting there. So hats off to Neil, the developer, on that. What else is going on? So, yeah, so next week we'll have a normal podcast again Friday afternoon. And then after that, it'll start getting crazy. Between Google I.O. and CTIA, so keep an ear out for when and where you can find us. So Jerry, Alex, Andrew, thank you guys. Everybody in the chat room, thank you. I think
Don't the shame. No baby, don't the shame.
All right, everybody.
Way too long. Jerry's losing his mind.
We will see y'all next week.
Donk a shame, no baby donk a shame.